Okay, let's review Shabbos daf Kuf Mem Beis. The Mishnah said that a person can move a kalkalava evan besocha, a basket that has a stone inside of it. So the Gemara asks, why are you allowed to do that? Isn't that a basel dover asr? The basket's a basel dover asr if it has a stone. So the Gemara answers, the Mishnah is speaking about a case where there are fruits in the basket as well. So it's a basel dover asr ula dover mutter, which can be moved on Shabbos. And even though you would normally have to shake out the rock from the basket, so the Gemara says, no, over here you don't even need to try to do that, because maybe we're talking about a case where Evan Gufa nas the stone from the Kalkala. The stone itself becomes part of the basket, and therefore it's not a bustus at all. Nothing's muksa at all. The stone is just a part of the basket. Metaltal and Truma Tameya ima Tahor. The Mishnah said you're allowed to move Tamei Truma that is mixed together with Tahor Truma. Amar of Chista Tahor Lamato Tamei Lamaila. That's only when the Tahar Truma is on the bottom and the Tamei Truma is on the top. But if the Tahar Truma were on the top, then you would need to skim off the top. You wouldn't be allowed to move the whole basket. The Gemara explains that this is true when it's Letzorech Gufo, because if it's Letzorech Gufo, you need the actual Truma, so then you would have to skim off the top. But when it's Letzorech Lakomo, you need the spot where the basket is on, so skimming off the top won't help you. Then, even if the Truma Tahora is on top, you're allowed to move the entire basket. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Af Malan Asamaduma, and then the Mishnah Rabbi Yehuda said that you can remove some symbolic Truma food from a mixture of Truma and Chulin, thereby permitting the rest of the food to be eaten, meaning even though the Truma is really batel, and therefore there is no Truma anymore, but it's you remove the amount of Truma that fell in symbolically as if it were Truma. So the Gemara asks, Vamai, how come a Sakein Mana? Why are you allowed to do that? Isn't that fixing the rest of the food by removing the symbolic Truma? So the Gemara gives three possible answers to this question. First of all, Rabbi Yehuda may assume, like Rabbi Lazar, that a Truma be'ina machta, Truma is viewed as distinct from the Chulin, that it is mixed with, and that's why it's part of a forbidden mixture of Truma and Chulin. That's why when part of a forbidden mixture of Truma and Chulin falls into less than 100 times its volume of Chulin, the entire new mixture is Asura, as if pure Truma had fallen in, because the Truma is viewed as distinct. The Gemara rejects that, because maybe Rabbi Lazar only views the Truma as distinct in order to be Machmir, but whoever says that he would apply such a Svara, even the Kula. So the Gemara suggests a second answer. That is, Rabbi Yehuda holds that Truma is viewed as distinct from the Chulin that it's mixed with, because he holds like Rabbi Shimon, that if a saw of Truma is batel b'meya, it's nullified 100 times its volume of Chulin, and then another saw of Truma falls into the mixture, it's mutter, since we view the first saw of Truma as separate from the 100 of Chulin, and the new saw is viewed as having fallen into 100 of Chulin. There happens to be another one of Truma here, but that's as if it's set aside, as if it's completely distinct. The Gemara rejects, no, that's not Rabbi Shimon's Shita. Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold out that the reason that the second saw is batel is because the first saw of Truma is viewed as if it's there and set aside. No, once the first saw of Truma fell in and became batel, it's ki'ilu, it's completely nullified. It's not there at all. So it's as if the second saw of Truma fell into 101 times its volume of Chulin. So the third answer the Gemara suggests, that Rabbi Yehuda holds it's not a violation of Mesakein. So the Gemara therefore comes up with the third answer, that Rabbi Yehuda holds it's not a violation of Mesakein to remove the Truma, since the food could have been eaten without physically removing the Truma, simply following Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar's approach of Nosinenu b'tzad zeva ochel b'tzad acher. A person can mentally designate one section of the mixture as Truma and eat from the other parts without actually removing anything. The Gemara, the Mishnah then tells us, Ha'evin shal pi achavis, if there's a stone that inadvertently was left on the opening of a barrel, matal tzida vihino felis, you can tilt the barrel so that the stone falls off. If the barrel is surrounded by fragile items that can break if you tilt the barrel, then magbio matal tzida, you can lift the barrel, bring it to a safe area, and then tilt it. The fact that the Mishnah prefers moving the barrel to just lifting off the stone directly demonstrates that the Mishnah must follow the opinion of Shimon Gamliel, who holds that when you sort a mixture of beans and dirt, where removing dirt from beans and removing beans from dirt involve the same amount of effort, so the halach is borer ochel, we should remove the beans from the dirt so as not to handle the muktza dirt directly. Apparently, whenever given the choice, we prefer not to move the muktza item, be it a rock on a barrel or dirt mixed with beans directly. The Mishnah said, Mo'o shalakar mina'er, if somebody inadvertently left money on a pillow, he can shake it off the pillow. The Gemara explains that if he left it there purposely, it becomes a basel davar asur and cannot be shaken. Also, if he doesn't just need the pillow, but needs the space that the pillow is on, he can even lift the pillow while the money is still on. And then the daf concludes with a discussion of the concept of kikar rotino, using a non-muksa item like a loaf of bread or a baby to enable a person to move a muksa item. A variety of amoraim hold that any muksa item that was inadvertently left in a bad spot can be moved by putting a kikar rotino on it. But Rav Ashi holds that we only allow using a kikar rotino to move a dead body so that it doesn't decompose quickly. We want to tell stories about how both Abayi and Rava utilized a kikar rotino to move items that were purposely and not inadvertently left somewhere, but then explains that really the items that Abaye and Rava moved weren't muktza at all. They were just strict to use a kikar or tinuk because they are anashim chashuvim, and people might think that those items are muktza, so it was worth an extra stringency for that sake. That's the Chazar of Shabbos Tavkuf Mem Beis.